Welcome, and thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Hashtag Be the Good in Your Hood, a podcast dedicated to sharing the essential change that can occur in your place, in your neighborhood, and in your life through intentional acts of hospitality. We are your hosts, Dave and Jen Colley. All right. Well, welcome back to another episode, and we are super glad that you're joining us today. Here on Hashtag Be the Good in Your Hood, our goal is to equip and resource people to know how to consider others, cultivate intentional rhythms, and contribute together for the good. And today we're joined by Kurt Merrifield. He's the principal and leader at Thomas Nelson High School, right here in Bardstown, Kentucky, where we live. And he has modeled this kind of value system of considering, cultivating, and contributing here in this town, but specifically in the high school of Thomas Nelson High School. So we're just so grateful that you're joining us today, and welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. This is first podcast experience, so we're going to see how it goes.
Yeah, well, we are always learners, and so you can just learn right along with us. We're just glad you're here. For starters, could you give us just like maybe 3 or 4 minutes, just kind of introduce yourself to outside of being a principal at Thomas Nelson to our listeners?
Sure. So this is my 12th year here at Thomas Nelson High School. I've been in education for 14 years. Previously, I was a science teacher, so I got to teach everything from biology to physiology to even some forensics. That's where my love is. I thought that I was going to be a dentist coming out of college, and then, you know, a year into things, looking at mouths wasn't what I wanted to do, and really just some things came into place to where education became a real reality. I enjoyed what I was doing working at a middle school in Washington County, and here I am 12 years later, still doing the job now as a principal, still getting to be in the classroom a little bit with AP Biology, but just working with students and then also working with the leaders in the building too is fulfilling every single day, and that's I enjoy it every day too.
And you've kind of branched out this year with bringing some other people along in your adventure of life, right? Like you have some extra people in your house this year?
Yes. So this year took the leap. I've been a chaperone for EF in the past, getting to take students on trips anywhere from Costa Rica to Japan to Australia. And now it's changed a little bit to bringing in 2 exchange students, one from Italy and one from Spain, into the house and introducing them to Thomas Nelson High School. And it's been a net positive for the school too, because our students get to learn from them. And it's been a great experience so far.
That's so awesome.
Yes, so far.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me as a kind of a bystander of Thomas Nelson, our kids go here and they get to, you know, experience the culture. Jen, you get to teach here. So everyone is here all the time except for me. And it's really fun because I come, you know, at night at dinner, like I'm hearing names and stories and all these things. And it's fun to be actually here in the school as we're recording this and getting some faces with names. So that's really fun. Thank you for joining us. And as you lead in this school and you've kind of created this culture that we've really appreciated, I think students really appreciate, multiple people in this community and outside this community are talking about it. You kind of lead with this thing that you call the hive or the hive mentality. Can you tell us a little bit about that and where that came from and how you kind of implemented that in your own life?
Sure. So I think this actually goes back a little further from when I was here, when the school opened, and a big tenet of the school was a book from Seth Godin, The Purple Cow. And the idea there is if you're driving past a field, you know, you see brown cows, you see black cows, but if you saw a purple cow, that would really stand out. We actually have a purple cow at the front of our building, right? When you walk in, visitors, students, they all know her. She's Jenny. But the idea there, really what the school was founded on, was every student, every leader, every person that walks into this building, every community member has a certain set of gifts, and really we should be sharing those gifts with the world. We should want to be what we call first dancers, step out and, you know, stand out from the crowd and showcase and highlight that it is very important to showcase our gifts with the world, because we're all equipped with those. And if we blend in, then we're not really living an optimal life. We're really not sharing the gifts that we can and helping amplify those around us. So The Hive came about 2 years ago. Our leadership team chose another book from Seth Godin called The Song of Significance. And one quote that really stood out to the entire leadership team was, "The purpose of a beehive is not to create honey. Honey is a byproduct of a healthy hive." And that really stuck with us because in education, sometimes there's this idea that you have to chase short-term gains because communities, stakeholders, the state, sometimes they want to see instant results to either test scores or things going on in the classroom. And teachers can feel a pressure, administrators can feel a pressure, and students can feel a pressure to, I have to achieve this thing right away, and that can lead to shortcuts sometimes, or maybe not doing the things that you know are best for students or best for teachers. And so this helped us really refocus our thinking and anchor us in the idea that if you follow a process, that product will come. This school is built to do what's best for students, best what for teachers, and that in the end will be what's the best product for the community itself too.
Gotcha. So it's almost like this platform in which you kind of launch off of for those hitting those targets. I mean, you can't not hit the targets or shoot for them, right? But it's this undercurrent, it sounds like, of kind of how you lead out and how you do that as a team.
Correct. Yep. If you are following a specific process, if you know this process is what will help you achieve what you need to, then it's showing a commitment to that, and the products will come. They might not come right when you want them, but you know if you continue to follow a routine and a process, and it's based off of sound information, sound data, and the people in your building, you know those people. If you just commit to that and are steadfast with it, those products will come. So it's less of a focus on the product, more of a focus on the process itself.
There is something that I feel like in the conversations we've had with people when it comes to, you know, caring for one another, contributing to our community, this issue of time comes out. And I'm hearing it in what you're saying of it may not come in the time you want, you know, and I think maybe the reason that comes up is that sometimes we want things quicker than they're happening. And so I'm just curious, are there things that you feel like, you said you've been, you know, here 12 years, that you've had the privilege of seeing happen over time? Or are there things that you're still waiting for to occur? Where would you say you fall in that realm?
I think, you know, I've got a foot in both of those pots that you're talking about right there. We've seen some really remarkable things occur in this school. When I think about 11 years ago, 12 years ago, when I started as a teacher, and where we are now with offering students more and more experiences. As a teacher, the students were in our building all day, every day, even if this wasn't the place they needed to be every single day. We know that learning can occur outside of our four walls. We know that that can be at a park, at your business, at home. And so over these past 10 years, we've seen and heard from students and seen the work that can be done with community partners. We're lucky to partner with over 90 different businesses and community partners throughout the district where learning can occur at Bernheim Forest. We have over 80 students at the airport at Samuels Field. One of my exchange students is actually building a plane half the day at the field. If you had told me as a teacher 11 years ago of you could have this opportunity as a student, I would have said, well, sign me up now. Why aren't we doing that now? But you also have to be in a place to where you have those community partners that have the resources to do the things and also the correct vision. You can't just jump in the deep end with 2 feet into something like this. It's a very intentional process. It's understanding the reasoning behind why you partner with people from around the community, why you say it's okay to open up our school to these opportunities, because in the end, you know what's best for students. It's helping them network, it's helping them get real life experiences, but also have the safety net of a teacher, or an administrator, a leader, other peers working through this before they graduate, and those safety nets go away.
Yeah, what I hear in that is a lot of coordination, right? There's a lot of people, maybe even a lot of work that goes into finding those people, having those conversations, trying to figure out a process for how do they do that with students and how do we vet them and keep them, keep students safe, but also, you know, transportation, all of those things. And I feel like that's kind of our barrier that we often run into when we're talking about this, even in our neighborhoods or in our communities at large, is that we have this idea that we want our neighborhood to be stronger or more connected or more joyful or more helpful to each other. But that takes a lot of coordination, right? There's a lot of different pieces. How have you learned to navigate figuring that piece out? Like, how do you rely on other people? How do you empower them, but also kind of trust them in what they are doing?
Well, it does take a lot of time, too, and it takes really leading out loud and telling your vision, your story out loud, too. Anytime that a new teacher is looking to become part of the building, or anytime we're talking to a community partner, we talk about our intentions. We are not bashful about what we intend to do or what our vision is. We try to think big picture and work from there, and just being very upfront about that. That's the very first thing. And those people that say yes, then you can jump in and start thinking about those big picture items, because you have some people around you that can take that vision, maybe run with it as well. And I think the second part of that is there are a lot of how questions that come into doing some of these things or trying something different, kind of bucking the status quo a little bit, if you know that's the right thing to do. And Peter Block talks a lot about how you shift how questions to yes questions. If something's important, then it becomes, yes, we'll do this. What steps will it take to go there? So you kind of start with the end and then work backwards instead of getting bogged down in the how this. Really, the final outcome is, yes, we're doing this, and then working backwards from it.
Have you found that that's important to have a lot of people or multiple people buying into the yes?
Yes. it is, but it's also giving that permission too. You have to have an environment to where anyone that wants to try something that we know is probably a benefit to students, they need to have the trust in myself and the other leadership team and also the central office team to know, if I fail, that's okay. It's a learning opportunity. That's why it's our very first leader value, learn and grow. If you're not learning or you're not growing, then you're probably playing it too safe, and no growth comes from not failure. So failure is an important part about growth.
And I heard a lot in there, too, about casting vision. How do you, as a leader, you know, thinking about whether it's a teacher that's new or someone that's been here for 20 years, you know, before even this kind of idea came about, how do you cast the vision? Like, what are some tangible things that you've learned that work when you cast a vision? And I'm asking that question because I think for us, as we talk to our neighbors and we talk to people around the country, they're like, hey, we're wanting to do this kind of hive mentality of, like, we want to try some things. We want to see the future. But how do we get people around us on board? How do we cast that vision? So what have you learned about casting the vision? What do you need to do?
I think communication is probably the key ingredient to making anything work. I think as a leader, you have to model what the expectation is. I mean, part of that, too, is building it into the day-to-day. Yes, we're a school. Yes, we're seven periods a day. There's academic work going on every single day. But to make that work and for students to come into a building to where they want to achieve great things, where they are going to be engaged in every single content area. A kid coming into my science class when I was teaching, that might not have been their jam. For me, it was history from time to time. But if you have a building and you have leaders where students want to work for those leaders, or they feel empowered to be in that building, you'll get a lot out of that. So that's the first step. It's really modeling what the expectation is every single day, anytime. And then it's also coming back to what your vision mission statement is. Throughout the walls of our building, you'll see, take care of this place, take care of each other, take care of yourself. Anytime that we are working through a lesson or trying a new initiative, our leader values will be there, because those are the tenets of everything we do. So you always have to come back to your mission and show how that links. If you are trying something and you don't have a strong anchor to your core tenets of your school or your mission vision, then things do get lost. It's harder to feel attached to that. So anytime we are trying anything new, or anytime we're talking to a new leader or a seasoned teacher too, it's always going back to, these are the things that we believe in. These are the things we know that are best for students and teachers, and continuing to reiterate that over and over and over again. You can never over communicate.
It's almost like they become also kind of a decision-making piece. You know, like when you're saying, you know, we're trying something new, we have this in front of us. And I think about that, you know, whether it's a whole neighborhood or a business or even just a, you know, a smaller unit of like a family, of saying, if our goal is to care for these people, or if our goal is to build, you know, a healthy place to live, then is this thing that we're considering going to do that? It kind of helps in some ways make decisions about, you know, what should we do next? It's almost like those larger things are answering some of the how questions for you because they're already super clear, like they're already laid out. I'm just curious, though, in the process of doing that, have you had ones that you've just been like, nope, this doesn't connect and we're just going to throw it out now?
Absolutely. So sometimes when you really invest in an initiative, it's hard to let it go. But there's some great readings about sunk costs. And if you understand that maybe over time, what you had valued, it has shifted. You have new people in the building. You have new students in the building every single year, and the world is changing every single day at an exponential rate. So sometimes an initiative there needs to evolve. It needs to change, or it needs to be completely scrapped, and you need to think about something new. And part of that, too, is going back to learn and grow. You have to be adaptable and flexible in education, again, because you are working with students. And in the end, our end goal should be making them better people, making them contributing positively, contributing citizens in our community, in the world, and then also just helping them be better people in that process too, and learning from that as well. So yes, we've had to, you know, spend hours, days, months on something, then realize this probably isn't the right thing to get the objective that we're looking for. This probably isn't the thing that's going to set our students up for success as much as we thought. So let's try this out. And that's just the nature of education too.
The nature of life in general. Yeah.
Agreed. So let's go back to this hive mentality where you say that really honey's not the goal. It's just the end product or the byproduct of something else. Have you dug in to bees at all? Have you done some research around what that looks like to kind of implement here in this school?
So it's funny that you say that. So after reading this, I think sometimes when you're reading or you're listening to the news or just in conversations, you don't really realize something that you're talking about until you read something about it. And when we started reading about bees, it felt like every other day I was hearing something about apiarists or something else. And I learned so much about bees in this process. But we have kind of done a little deep dive in bee science, just talking about first answers, really with bees. When a hive is crumbling or when a hive is not as healthy as it should be, you do have these first bees that kind of go out. They look for a new suitable place. They come back and pretty much teach through a dance the rest of the hive this new location to help set up this new area, this new beehive. And so we'd always talked about first dancers, and you have to lead out loud. You have to be that first dancer and that first follower, now tying it to bees there as well. And it has been something that's been a little sticky for students as well, too, not to put a pun with honey and sticky.
Yeah, I was going to say something, but
That's good.
I had to get that in there real quick. But it has been a nice way of having at least something that you can point to that's tangible, to talk about something that's a really big concept to think about. Sticking to a process, you know, how you do anything is how you do everything. That's easy to say, but it's hard to live by. Mm. And so if you're able to speak to just the science of bees or be able to speak to something as a story, that does help make it a little more tangible to leaders, to students.
Would you say there's something other than the first dancer, or has that been kind of the one thing that kind of has really grabbed hold of your attention as you've thought about the bees?
I think that's probably been the thing that's helped the most, because we are trying new things here. We empower our students every single day. We talk about having to lead out loud, having to step out of your comfort zone. It's important to understand that you have a lot of gifts, and it's also important to understand that the only way that others know that is if you share them. And you make our community better by doing that. So we try to, in the classroom every single day, push students to step out of their comfort zone. But again, it comes back to modeling. If we're not doing that as teachers or as people, then it's less likely that our students will, because they watch what we do. And that's fair, too. You can't ask something and not also model it the same way.
Yeah, I mean, as parents, we know that as well, mm-hmm. right? Like, we're in the process of trying to open a coffee shop right now, and it's the craziest thing we've ever done, and it's really scary and really exciting all at the same time. But it really is us stepping out of our comfort mm-hmm. and, like, kind of giving up some really comfortable jobs, paychecks, and benefits. And yep, it's so important for us to be doing that because our kids are watching, right? They're, you know, Silas is a senior and he's like, you know, should I apply to this college or not? I don't think I'll get in. I'm like, just try it. Like, you have to try it. And for us to say that, but also try to model it at the same time, I think always brings more power, right? It brings more influence to whoever you're talking to. You're going to say something.
I was just going to say that modeling picture of, you know, even just the title of our podcast about be the good in your hood, that a lot of times we want to see these things. We want to know that our communities are growing, or that, you know, we are starting things that will help people, but we sometimes have to do the thing and model it, model the thing that we're wanting to see happen before it starts actually happening other places. And so I feel like kind of that piece that beyond like a school setting, it's happening, it has to happen in other realms of, you know, if there's something you want to see happen that's good, it is kind of that encouragement of you might need to be the first one to step out and do that. You might need to be the little bee that goes out scouting and finds things, and then other people join. And I feel like we've felt that kind of lonely piece sometimes in that like sometimes it feels lonely stepping out to be like, I think this is a good idea, but nobody else is doing it. Maybe I'm crazy. But I think that's a great encouragement of that is the way that those things begin to happen, is that when we all realize, oh, I need to be modeling that. I need to be the ones that's doing it so that it will then spread in my community is a good reminder. I'm just wondering if, I mean, obviously I sort of live and work in a school setting. So to me, the connections are just obvious. But I'm thinking people might be listening to this and thinking, how does this translate if I'm not in a school setting? What am I doing today that could relate to this idea of a beehive or a first dancer? And you do live outside of the school setting sometimes.
Sometimes.
So I'm wondering if there's something that you feel like no matter what setting you're in, you feel like this is kind of a takeaway that you've had or that you could share with people as far as, you know, how can we use this to be the good where we are, school or not?
Yes.
What would you say?
Yep. I think it all comes back to community, which I think you all speak to a lot and which I really appreciate there. But to build a community, you have to constantly tend to it. And part of that too is taking the energy of what's best for the community you're in and being that person that will take that leap. It really comes back to being self-aware and self-reflective and saying, if I value this thing, then I will say yes to it. There's a little card in my room that says embrace tension, because you know if you are embracing tension, without tension, there isn't growth. And so if you are trying something new, things that are worthwhile doing, it takes time. It takes tension, and that's part of that growth process as well. So it's really just a commitment to, yes, priorities and taking that first step. I know that seems like an easy thing, but when there are constraints or you can point to something and say, well, this might happen, or well, this roadblock is here, then it is easy to continue just to continue with how things are. They might be going all right. But if you know they could be better, you've got a chance to make them better, really the first step in any context, whether it's a job, whether it's family, whether it's just something in your neighborhood, you have to be okay with taking that first step and hoping you'll have that first follower come along too, because they are just as important.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that's really good. We talk to so many people across the country in so many different like spheres, but there's so many similarities when it comes down to really trying to make change happen. And things that I heard you say was, you know, if there's something that you think or believe is good and would be good for the people around you, then say yes to that first and foremost. And then, you know, it's going to take some vision and kind of talking about that, kind of coming up with some ideas and like casting those to some other people. Like, hey, what do you think about this? But that also means you have to be the first dancer, right? You have to kind of step out. You have to kind of embrace that tension of like, what if I'm the only one that's saying this? And then, and last, I really liked just this last little piece that you said, just don't fear questions. I think that's probably the biggest thing when we've even tried to practice in our own community, in our own neighborhood, when we're like, hey, we should do this, or we want the neighborhood to be this type of neighborhood in 3 years. What's it going to take to do that? And we start doing some ideas and trying to do some different things. And there's a lot of questions. And I think sometimes our first initial is, the question is bad, or the question is like an attack on my idea, instead of saying, no, those questions actually will probably bring some really logistical things and help kind of pave the way so there's not so many barriers as you try to pursue that. So I just love that today, talking about, you know, say yes, cast that vision, be the first dancer in your neighborhood, right? Step out, do something good, and don't fear the questions that people are going to ask. And sometimes we even decide not to say yes because of that fear of the question at the end. My encouragement today is just do that. Yep. Like, if you want to be the good in the hood, if you have a good idea, you think that there's something that you could do that would make your neighborhood or your community better, then do that. I love that. That kind of picture from the Hive.
Yep. And really it comes down to mindset too. Like, questions are an opportunity for growth. And if someone's asking you a question about something, they're at least interested in it, or they believe that you value what they're saying, which means you've got someone there that you can rely on too. So I think if you're able to shift that mindset, it's difficult. It's difficult for me from time to time too. If you've got an idea and you're really passionate about it, it can feel like, well, you know, what's the end goal here really? But if you take it as an opportunity for growth, you can build an ally there because they are asking questions, but maybe they see some blind spots because they're not as close to it, and it really can amplify the work that you're doing. And then you have someone else to speak to it too, and you know, your vision, it becomes our vision, and it continues to grow.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been really, really fun.
It has been. This has been great.
Yeah, so many notes. I've taken so many notes, and I can't wait to kind of look over them and check out this book. So tell me again the authors and books that people should be reading if they're interested in this idea.
Absolutely. So I would say the first would be The Song of Significance. That's from Seth Godin. And then if you want to learn more about these yes questions, the answer to How is Yes by Peter Block. Those are two great places to start, and those should motivate you to take those big leaps.
Nice.
Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for
having
me.
We just want to encourage everybody to continue to be the good in your hood this week.
Thanks for joining us today. If you would like to engage this conversation about hospitality on a deeper level, feel free to connect with us at hospitalitymatters.org. Also, please check out our small group study of Roots and Branches, a field guide for practicing hospitality. It is designed to help you and your friends discover what hospitality really is and how to live it out in your everyday life. We have provided opportunities to explore your own place, exercises to develop rhythms of cultivating relationships, and tools to help you get started. Head on over to our website and get your copy today and discover how you too can be the good in your hood.